Good afternoon. You're listening to Jefferson Public Radio's Classics and News Service. I'm Vanessa Finney with some very special programming. For the next 30 minutes or so, I'll be talking with the internationally acclaimed pianist Daniel Del Pino, whom Anima Mundi Productions is presenting in solo recital this Sunday, May 31st at 3 p.m. in the Southern Oregon University Music Recital Hall. Daniel will be playing a few selections today from that recital, which features Spanish salon music with touches of French Impressionism and poetry by Tiziana della Rovere, woven in that evoke the landscape and culture of Spain. Welcome to JPR and to Ashland, Daniel.
Thank you so much for having me here.
You're having a whirlwind morning. Right before you stepped into our performance studio, you stepped out of our music building across the quad. Tell us what you were doing over there.
So I was giving a masterclass for Dr. Tutunov's students. It was a great pleasure to see these amazing, talented students.
Wonderful. Now, I know you are a teacher yourself. You're currently the Eva Browning Artist in Residence and Professor of Piano at Texas Tech University. Do you have a certain philosophy of teaching music, and what is your approach to your students?
Well, the first thing I always like to say when I'm asked this question is that every student is a unique student, person, and world to deal with. So I try to adapt to the student itself, himself or herself. But in general, my philosophy is to try to get the best out of them. Instead, very often we tend to focus on the things that are wrong and try to correct them. And I like to try to discover what makes that person unique or that player unique and try to showcase that and concentrate more on bringing that out and at the same time obviously working on little things, technical things, and try to find freedom in the body and in the arm so that the students can do what the best they can with their movements, with their use of their body.
And sort of lean into those unique characteristics they may have in their own playing.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah. Now, what about your own education? I understand you were born in Lebanon to Spanish parents. How did music enter your life, and where did you study?
So that's an interesting story. As you said, I was born in Lebanon, and it was not until I was 10 years old that I started playing piano. But at home, my father is an amateur pianist. He always wanted to be a pianist, but at his time, he couldn't. The family didn't let him at that time. So, but we always heard a lot of classical music at home. So at that time, we were living in Morocco because of my parents' job. And a friend of mine was given a Casiotone, the little electric keyboards, as a present. And I was fascinated by the little rhythms and the noises and the sounds that it was producing. And I didn't relate it to the music that I was hearing at home. But then I started playing. My father felt that I was having a special interest. So he bought me a larger one, like a little better electronic keyboard. And then he realized I really loved the piano. He taught me how to read music. So I learned how to sight read with my father. And then he ended up buying an upright piano for me. So that was so I started in Morocco. And then after 2 years, we moved back when I was 12 years old. And we moved back to Spain. And that I continued my studies there.
Ah, we could be so grateful for those parents that are able to spot an interest in their young child and have the resources to actually encourage them and support that.
For sure, yes.
Yeah. Now, you've given several performances here in Ashland, but this Sunday's concert offers a different focus in that it really showcases your specialty, Spanish music from the late 1800s and early 1900s. Tell us, please, about this repertoire you'll be sharing on May 31st.
So obviously, as a Spaniard, I feel like a little bit an ambassador to Spanish music, and I feel it's very important to show it in the places I perform. So very often I'm asked to do full recitals of Spanish music. In this case, we added two pieces from French composers, Ravel and Debussy. And not only because of the theme of the concert, which is nature, but also because both French composers influenced a lot Spanish composers and Spanish composers influenced French composers. It was a two-way inspirational influence. And I'm going to play pieces by four, I would say, the four most important Spanish composers, which are Turina, Granados, Albéniz, and Falla. And I always mention that outside Spain, Turina is not as well known, but and like I think he deserves to be much better known. And in Spain, he is one of the main composers. Yes.
Certainly. Well, let's hear one of three selections you'll be playing this Sunday from Granados. A reminder, you're tuned into the Classics and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Vanessa Finney, talking and listening live to piano virtuoso Daniel Del Pino about his flamenco-infused solo concert this Sunday, May 31st at 3 p.m. at the SOU Music Recital Hall. He just played a selection from Danzas Españolas by Enrique Granados. Now, it won't surprise our audience that you've won 6 first prizes at national piano competitions in Spain, as well as winning multiple international competitions. Can you tell us a little bit about the discipline and immersion you bring to your art in order to perform at such a high level?
So I always like to say that I think perseverance and constant work is much more important than just a flash of working a lot for one competition. So I was never the type of student that would practice 10 hours a day, but I was very constant. I always practiced 4 or 5 hours a day. Now, lately, it's a little less because of different duties, being a father and many other things. But for me, the perseverance is the most important element.
Okay.
Talent helps, things like that, many things help, but at the end, it's really to just be perseverant.
Yes, constancy. And so you have a family. Is it a young family? Have you been noticing any musical inclinations in your children?
Well, I have a 12-year-old and an almost 10-year-old. They both play cello, and the little one is also doing percussion. So, yeah, so we would love... I mean, we hope that they will choose whatever path they want to take, but we would like at least them to know the language their parents speak, because my wife also is a violist, she is a musician. So we would like them to have musical education until maybe they're 14, and then they can decide whether to continue or not.
So this type of repertoire that you're presenting this Sunday tends to really bring down the house here in Southern Oregon. And I was wondering if you have any thoughts about why audiences respond so passionately to this signature sound of Spanish music?
Well, I believe it's because Spanish music has, first of all, a very strong rhythmical aspect to it, which is very easily identifiable. I don't know how, if you say that word. It's
yes.
easy to identify. And I think for audiences, it's very easy to get carried along with that very strong rhythm. And it always combines, it has always this changing moods between dance music and singing music, which also makes a lot of variety. And I believe those are two main reasons. It's also very easy to imagine for people that have seen a little bit of the way flamenco dancers dance. I think it's so easy with the music to just imagine that dance and to just have a really open imagination with that. So I think those
Interesting that you bring that up, because I find one of the best things I like about attending these types of concerts is where my mind goes, and you just spoke to that. I think we're evoking all those cultural parts of it when we hear the music. Interesting. Well, what else would you like to play for our listeners today?
So the next piece I'm going to play is from Isaac Albéniz, and it's called Asturias. Thank you.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Classics and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Vanessa Finney. My guest is a man considered by many to be one of the greatest Spanish pianists of our time, Daniel Del Pino. We just heard him play live Asturias from Isaac Albéniz, which is on the program for his solo recital this Sunday, May 31st at the SOU Music Recital Hall, where he'll focus on composers from turn-of-the-century Spain, as well as the French composers Debussy and Ravel. Daniel, which French pieces will you be performing from those composers, and can you tell us a little about your connection to them?
So the first piece I will be performing from Ravel is the Jeux d'eau, so water games, let's say. And the other piece I will perform by Debussy is Clair de Lune, both, as you can hear, very inspired in nature. And for me, the Jeux d'eau was a suggestion from Ethan, I always wanted to learn that piece, but I had never played it before. So I was very excited about that idea that he had.
Ethan, one of the leaders of Anima Mundi.
Exactly, sorry, yes. And so those are very, to me, French music was always very dear to me. As I said, I grew up a big part of my childhood in Morocco, and I always went to French school. Ah. And my first summer courses, musical summer courses, were in France. Oh. So I had a big connection also with French teachers and French school. My very first piano teacher, she was half Moroccan, half German, but studied in Paris all her life. So she had the French school. And so it's a music that is very dear to me.
And you'll be a good person to answer this, then, I think. Can you sort of expand on what you mentioned before about that cross influence between French and Spanish music? What are some of the particulars of that?
Well, as many people know, Paris was at that time the capital of music in that moment. So most of the Spanish pianists and composers lived in Paris for a while. And it was the beginning of both the nationalistic movement in Spain and the impressionistic movement in France. And I think for French musician, Spanish music was always fascinating in the sense of something very ethnically strong. And they were very fascinated. Debussy wrote lots of music inspired in Spanish music. And the interesting thing, he wrote a lot of music without have never been in Spain. But he, like La Puerta del Vino, which is one of his famous preludes, was a postcard he received from Falla, which pictured the Puerta del Vino, which is in Alhambra, in Granada. And I think that led to a great imagination. Sometimes I always like to say that French composers write in Spanish music, it sounds even more Spanish than Spaniards composer, because it has all the elements of the folklore. And in Spanish music, you can hear so much of the influence of impressionistic music. You have both the folkloric and traditional dances mixed with colors that are more French. Yeah.
Yeah, and before we started today, you were saying that a lot of Spanish music in general is sort of influenced or based on Andalusia, the one region.
Yes, so those four composers I will be performing on Sunday, two of them were born in Andalusia, but the other two were born in Catalonia, in the northeastern part of Spain. But all of them had in their hearts and in their writing Andalusia, which is what we tend to associate Spanish music with most of the time. That's where flamenco is very famous. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can find flamenco many other areas in Spain, but that's where it originated and where it's typical from that area. Yes.
Interesting. Well, speaking of all these countries, I understand you've performed on every continent in the world except for Antarctica. Is there any one experience that pops out into your head that really stands out among your travels? It could include you enjoying, if you ever have time, to enjoy the local music of where you're traveling.
So, I mean, unfortunately, when I travel for concerts, I don't have much time to see much. But the one thing that opened my mind a lot, and having grown up in Arab countries and understanding how our music is very much centered in the European tradition, and European tradition music is based on this tension between the dominant and the tonic that always needs a resolving. I remember I was playing a concert in Jordan And in the middle of a Mozart sonata, that there was a chord with a dominant, like unfinished, like, and people started to clapping, which for me was strange because I would need the resolve. Mm-hmm. But I understood their music is not based on that. So for them, they heard something that had a lot of power and strength. And so that for them, that was the arrival moment. And so, and now that I have also many students from China, also you can hear a lot in their music. How everyone plays is so influenced by their own music. And I think it's beautiful. It's wonderful to bring all that into playing Chopin or any composer, you know.
Right. So different cultures have different cues, whether it's different cadences. Not everybody's waiting for that chord resolution.
Completely, yes.
What else would you like to play for us?
So I could play the ritual dance of the fire from El Amor Brujo from Falla.
Great.
Thank you.
was pianist Daniel Del Pino performing Dance of Fire from Manuel de Falla's El Amor Brujo here on JPR. Daniel, aside from your work as a piano professor and a touring performer yourself, you're a recording artist. Can you give us an overview of some of the CDs that you've produced?
Yes, so the most important CDs, I've recorded the whole Iberia Suite by Albéniz, which is a two CD set because it's more than one and a half hours of music. I've recorded the full Goyescas by Granados, and I recorded the complete Chopin Etude. That was my very first commercial CD. And then I've recorded a lot of chamber music. I've recorded the complete piano trios by Joaquín Turina. I've recorded with a clarinetist, the soloist of the Sinfónica de Galicia in Spain. It was all an album of contemporary music. I've recorded with flutist, also principal of Sevilla Philharmonic. I've recorded with Ara Malikian, an amazing violinist that lives in Spain. Yeah, I have many chamber music CDs as well. Yeah.
And you have a brewing chamber ensemble at home with the violist, pianist, percussion, and two cellists.
Yes, exactly.
Well, thank you. That's about all we have time for today. It was a pleasure talking to you about your life and your work.
Thank you so much for having me on the program.
I'm Vanessa Finney, and you've been listening to a special live session with award-winning Daniel Del Pino on the Classics and News Service of community-supported Jefferson Public Radio. The local nonprofit organization Anima Mundi Productions is presenting Daniel in solo recital this Sunday, May 31st at 3 p.m. in the Southern Oregon University Music Recital Hall. Tickets and details are available online at humanitytickets.com or by calling 541-833-3066. Thanks for listening.